Bibles you can turn to. We'll start in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'm going to pray before we get into the Word. You know, I think a lot of times it's important for me to say some things because, you know, when you stand up here in a suit and you tie your tie all nice, and I hope the divot looks good today. I mean, it's going to be hard for you to listen to me if I have a messed up divot. But it looks pastoral, you know, but you're looking at somebody that was a former addict, alcoholic, drug addict, had a gambling addiction like crazy, and just money would just foom. And, you know, depressed to the point of a 357 Magnum in my throat, you know, ready to pull the trigger, hammer cocked. And Jesus stepped in and saved me and changed my life, and he gave me heaven. But then I was in poverty, I was in sickness, he turned it all around. And I've watched him do that for so many people, people that will cooperate with him. Amen. What do I mean by cooperate with him? People that will do the Word. Amen. See, if you're here this morning, you want your life to change, it's available for you. The best life you've ever had is available. I don't know what you've been taught about God. I don't know what your history is with God, what your history is with church, what your thoughts are about God. But I'm here to tell you, God wants to radically change your life for the better. Amen? This God stuff is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. He loves you so much. And so as we get into that, I say all that to say, why are you so crazy about him? Because I know where I've come from. I know what he's done, and I know what he does in people's lives. People all the time come up to me and say, Pastor, thank you so much. And I say, well, let's give God the credit. I just am his messenger boy, you know. I'm like the FedEx guy. About you, but when FedEx brings me stuff from gifts, you know, I get gifts from Cabela's. That's a good store. Get gifts from Cabela's, you know, and all the hunting stuff and for archery and things like that, you know, and their gifts, presents from people. I don't run out and hug and kiss the FedEx guy. I'm glad they did their job and brought it, but it's the source that's the blessed one we give the blessing to. God's our source, and so passionate about because he wants to do what he did in me, and you might not be so in a hurting unit like I was, but he wants to take your life, even if it's good, and make it better. Amen. He does. And so let's get into some things this morning. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your word. Father, I thank you this morning is going to change lives. It's going to turn destinies around and overturn things, Father, in people's lives. This is a new beginning. It's like a crossroads for some people, a new start. Lord, your mercies are new every morning, Father. You're not holding anything against us. You're not mad at us. You're so full of love and kindness that we just thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do today, all that you're going to accomplish, all that you're going to help us with. Father, as we go forth this morning, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that your word is taught with boldness and utterance. And Lord, I'm asking you this right now, and this is going to be a sign to people of your reality. Father, there are a room full of people, and lots of people I don't even know, have no idea what's going on in their life, but Father, I thank you that something will come out of my mouth that will be so pertinent to their personal situation that they will think to themselves, how in the world did Pastor Mike know to say that? And the answer is, I didn't. But you did, Father. And so I'm asking you beforehand to touch every heart here, change every life here this morning. And Father, when they hear that supernatural move of God that comes out of my mouth, Father, it'll be a sign unto them that, wow, God is real and he cares about me. But also, Father, it'll be a sign unto them that this is a safe place where they can come and hear the word of God. So, Father, we expect that to happen this morning. We give you the praise and we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing you'll know about me if you stick with me long enough, I'm a word man. And what that means is I stick with the Bible. I don't stick with people's opinions. I'm not trying to be the most popular church in Cattaraugus County. I'm not trying to be the most popular church in New York State. We're trying to be the most faithful one. We're trying to be the ones that will preach God's word, that will stick with God's word no matter what year it is, 2018, no matter what society says. We're going God's way. Hallelujah. And we're not worried about all the programs. We're not worried about all the music. We're not worried about all this and that. We're worried about the word of God. Hey, man, all those other things are good, but it's the word that needs to be number one. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning, I actually preached this in Olean on Tuesday night, I believe it was. And as I was sharing it, I knew in my heart that we would, someone's not happy. And as I was sharing it in Olean, I knew that we were going to share this here at some point. And it seemed good in my spirit to share this morning. And I just want to say right off the bat, what I'm going to be sharing with you today is not, I don't know what you'd call, you know, earth-shattering or groundbreaking or mind blowing, but I want to tell you what I'm about to share with you today is going to be life changing. Now, think about that statement, life changing. Can I really come to church in South Dayton on a Sunday morning and walk out and everything be different? Absolutely. Happens every single week. Praise God. So it may not be groundbreaking and earth-shattering or mind-blowing, but it will be life-changing. But the thing about it is, for your life to change, you're going to have to do something different. Have you heard the statement, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got? And so I'm going to show you simple things in the Word that if you'll put them to practice in your life every single day, simple things. See, God made things simple for idiots like myself. And I'm talking about pre-Jesus, I was an idiot. He made things simple. I don't have all the degrees. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't have a lot of natural things to my name, but I have Jesus, and that's all I need. Hallelujah. And so what I'm going to share with you this morning are simple things that if you'll do them every day in your life, life will change for you. In fact, I'll get to some of this in the message today. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I finally have done what you said to do, and I can't believe the change. I had someone last night in Olean tell me, Pastor, from Tuesday when you preached that service to Saturday, I did what you said to do, and life is already different. I'm telling you, this stuff really works. I mean, God actually isn't a liar. Isn't that amazing? Amen. I mean, that's amazing. And so we're going to look at some things here today. And again, it won't be groundbreaking, earth-shattering, or mind-blowing. But here's the thing that you have to understand. It's not going to be hard, but what it will be is simple and repetitive. But don't let the simpleness and repetitiveness of something take away from the value of it. There's things we do every single day that are simple and repetitive, but they make a world of difference in our lives. Right? You know what's not hard and is very repetitive is brushing your teeth. You do that, right? I'm hoping. You know, if you don't, you know, it's funny, we bring, I always say, Courtney is a little psychotic when it comes to teeth brushing with our kids. But what I will say about this is the kids go to the dentist and the dentist always say, hey, what in the world? Your kid's teeth look great. Her. I mean, it's just very on top of everything. But what the dentist says to us is that, you know, a lot of kids just have problems because even simple teeth brushing is not a part of their routine. But that's simple and repetitive, and if you don't do it, it can hurt your life. That's right. Amen. Because I don't want the simplicity of this morning's message and the repetitiveness of it be like, oh. Because we don't need groundbreaking, earth-shattering, and mind-blowing to change our lives. You know what else is simple and repetitive? Putting on a seatbelt. It's simple. It's something you should do every time you get in the vehicle, and it changes people's lives. Right. Amen, it does. What about eating? One of my favorites. Eating is so simple and so repetitive, but if you don't do it, things will show up bad in your life, won't they? Yeah, they will. So don't let the simpleness of this message and the repetitiveness of it be something to say, ah, no, if you'll do it. And the reason I'm preaching it is because people aren't doing it. So how do you know? Because God told me. And then when I talk to people, they say, nope, not doing it. I say, okay, well, that's why things are the way they are in your life. God wants to help you, praise God. So I want to help you too. So I'm going to show you simple things. But in James chapter 1 and verse 21, where I told you to go, look what the Bible says. Not verse 21. Let's go to verse James chapter 1 and let's go to verse 25. The context here is the Bible doing the Word of God. It says, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. That's talking about the Word of God there. The verses before tell us that. It says, whosoever looks at the perfect law of liberty, looks at the Word, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, ladies included, shall be blessed. Amen. Notice who the blessed ones are. It's not just the hearers. It's the doers of the Word. I'm going to give you things to do today going out of here. Why? Because it's the doers that are blessed. Amen. Can I just kick religion right between the eyes right now off the bat? this idea that I'm going to show up and sit in a church and check off my religious consciousness box so I can feel good about myself and expect my life to change because I showed up to church, it's garbage and it's not biblical. The Bible doesn't say it's the people that show up and hear that are blessed. That's part of it. The Bible says it's the people that show up, hear the word, and then actually walk out of here and do it. That's where the change comes in. And again, what am I saying? If you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always got. You got to change some things in your life for things to change in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look at that today, but it's the doer of the word. And you know, I met with somebody not too long ago, and they sat down with me and they said, Pastor, I finally did what you said to do. And they said, I can't begin to tell you all the changes in my life. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
It happens all the time. You see, eventually, people get dumb enough to actually listen to their pastor.
Come on.
They actually get dumb enough to think, God must know what he's talking about. See, because his word is like a GPS. What's a GPS do? Takes you where you need to go, gets you out of where you don't want to be.
Amen.
Well, that's what God's word is. Every single thing you have in life that you're facing, God has the answer for it to turn it around to make it as blessed as it possibly can be. Answers in your body, answers in your mind, answers with your kids, answers in your marriage, answers with your finances, every single thing. And when people will do what this says, it will change to the best it's ever been before.
Amen.
Because that's who he is. But the struggle comes is that people are on their own programs.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
They're say, Pastor, you are so harsh. No, I'm so loving.
Amen.
You know why I correct my children? Not because I don't like them. When they're doing things wrong, it's not because I'm you might get upset with them and things, but I'm not doing it because I want them to feel bad about themselves. I correct them because I don't want them to keep going the wrong way. So why do I tell people God's word and not care about what whose toes it might step on? Because the people that will do God's word will walk into blessings that other people won't.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. It's true. A lot of people don't do it, so I'll do it and say it again and again and again. You know, the prescription never changes. Think about what doctors say as far as health goes. A lot of people's health problems, you know what would be fixed by? Diet, exercise, and sleep. I'm not saying all problems. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not lumping everything in. But the majority of what a doctor will say will change a lot of problems in people's lives is diet, exercise, and sleep.
Amen. That's good.
Well, you go to the doctor and you're having trouble, and he said, you know, this cholesterol problem or this weight problem or this blood pressure problem, just change your diet and get on a treadmill 30 minutes a day. It'll change. And you come back 6 months later. He says, you've been on a treadmill? I haven't even looked at a treadmill. In fact, I was casting the devil out of one. Some people, you think they're the devil. You stay right away from that thing. Run from the treadmill. And he says, okay, well, you still got the cholesterol problem. You still got the blood pressure problem. You still got the weight problem. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not going to change. He's going to say, eat better and get on a treadmill for 30 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's good.
Repetitive and simple things to tell people. It's the same with the Word of God. This doesn't change because it doesn't fit what you're doing or not doing. So let's go for it today. Let's find out three things that will help you change your life forever. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says this. It says, the book of the law, which is talking about God's word, the Bible, shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, we already talked about that in the offering message about speaking the word and saying something. You think about salvation. I'm going to help people because people think of that confession garbage. What in the world is he talking about that confession? Well, think about it with Jesus. To get saved, what's the Bible say? How do you get saved? You must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Notice this. To be saved is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says when you do that, heaven is yours. It's a free gift. You don't have to join a church. It's not about church attendance. It's not about how good you've been, how bad you've been. It's about what you do with Jesus. Amen? Had a memorial service yesterday, and I was trying to stress to the people, listen, accepting Jesus is not about church attendance. Becoming God's child is not about how good or how bad you've been or how moral or how unmoral you've been. It's about what do you do with Jesus, because the Bible makes it simple. See, religion makes it hard to get to God. The Bible makes it simple.
Amen.
You need to understand that, because there's people that come from different backgrounds where they're told you got to jump through a million religious hoops to get God to accept you. And it's garbage.
Right.
It's bull. It's not true.
Right.
You say, I don't know, Pastor Mike, that's hard to swallow. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, I'm saying this because someone in here needs to hear it. Because I didn't say this in Olean when I preached this message. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a criminal on his right and a criminal on his left. And one of the criminals looked at him and laughed at him and mocked him. And he didn't respond to him. But the other criminal who was on the cross, dying because he was a bad person, what natural world would say is bad, you know, not moral. If you're a thief, you're not moral. And he's dying for his sins. And he's on the cross and he looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, I believe who you are. And you know what Jesus said to him? Now, this is what most church people would think. Jesus said, oh, sorry, you're not qualified. Oh, sorry, you don't go to church enough. Oh, sorry, you've not been moral enough. No, see, that's what we've been spoon-fed our whole lives. That's what Grandma Anderson used to do with the Bible. She'd thump me over the head with it.
Yeah.
Say, you're not good enough for God. You're not. You got to change this and you got to change that. But I don't know about you, but you don't clean fish before you catch them.
Come on, that's right.
Do you? No. You got to catch them first. And God had to catch me first, and then he cleaned me up. It ain't people's job to clean me up.
Right.
It's God's job to help me.
Right. Yeah.
But to come to God, people stay away from him because they've been spoon-fed. They're too bad, and they have no way, and it's impossible, and they can't do this, they can't do that. It's garbage. Jesus looked at that criminal who was dying on the cross. You know what he said? I accept you.
Yeah.
You're in.
Yeah.
What? But he didn't go to church enough, so it didn't say you have to go to church to go to heaven.
That's right.
But he wasn't a good enough person. Didn't say you have to be a good enough person to go to heaven. It says heaven is yours if you receive Jesus or not receive Jesus. It's that simple.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. So many people grow up, they just are just spoon-fed condemnation and religion, and they beat themselves up. It's just not the truth. But my point is, with salvation, when you get saved, the Bible says you must confess with your mouth. Now here's the thing. In the Bible, it tells you how to get saved. People walk by this book in Walmart every day with the power in it to get them saved, change their life. But guess what? It doesn't happen until they get this into here and then say it. That's why he says, don't let the book of the law depart of your mouth. Why? Because it doesn't matter that God says you can have healing. A lot of sick people go to church. A lot of broke people go to church. They're hearing the word of God. What, the word's got to get in you, and I'll talk about that in a second, and then you'll release it for faith. Confession brings possession.
Amen. Yes.
The Bible says, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto the possession of that promise. So it doesn't matter that God says healing. Just because God said about healing, God said there's prosperity, because a lot of people will say, God can't be a healer. I know a Christian who's sick. God can't be a blesser. I know a Christian who's poor. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change the Bible.
Right.
You got to get the word in your heart and confess for the promise.
Amen.
Jesus said you'll have what you say, not what you think, not what you hope,
right.
Not what you daydream about.
That's good.
I'm just going to be one of those ones that are dumb enough to preach the word and watch it work. He said, don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. He says, but take the word of God. Now look what it says here. Meditate therein day and night. What's that mean? A constant feeding of God's word. It doesn't mean quit your job and be in the Bible 24/7. It means just throughout the day, feed on God's word. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice this now. For then. Everybody say for then. Not before then. For then shall your way be made prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Mike just told you how to have prosperity and good success.
Praise God. Amen.
But you know what's amazing? Let's give religion another boot right between the eyes. When I look at that verse, I see me in there a lot. I don't see God in there one time.
That's right.
Oh, God, change things. Oh, God, change my life. I'm desperate, God. I need the money. I need the health. I need good success. Oh, he must not want it for me. It's not happening. Oh, Father, you hear all those kind of doubt and unbelieving prayers all the time. But he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I see me in there six times. I see God in there zero.
That's right.
Your prosperity and good success is up to you. What you do with God's word. And so many people are so religiously brainwashed, they're sitting on their duffs doing nothing, just waiting for God's happy face to shine on them. And when things don't change, then they start to blame him. Or they say, well, he just must not want it for me. He said, if you'll do the right thing with the word of God, you'll have prosperity and good success. That means for your kids. That means for your bodies. That means for your minds. That means for your jobs. It means for your marriage. It means for your health.
Yes. Amen. Good word.
He says, meditate therein day and night. What's that mean? Getting in the word and feeding out. Find out what God says. Now, let me mention something, because on the surface, and what we're talking about today is not things that will change God. You do realize if you never step foot in a church, if you never open your Bible, you never pray to Him, it doesn't change the way He feels about you.
Amen.
This stuff doesn't get God to love you more. This stuff doesn't get God to like you more. This stuff changes your life. God does never change. He never changes.
Right.
He's always mercy. He's always love. He's always kindness. He's always ready, willing, and able to bless you all the time. Amen.
Amen.
He says, meditate in the Word. Now, on the surface, you might think, how is that life changing? How does that translate into prosperity and good success? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you a verse that's going to show you why that does in a second. But let me just say this first. The Lord gave me an illustration. This past 4th of July, I bought some fireworks for the kids to use. Now, when I went to that tent in Walmart, you know, they have those tents. I said, this is what I want. I want something that's not going to burn down my house. I want something that's not going to burn down my family. And I want something that's not going to burn down the woods.
Yeah.
She said, oh, here's a starter pack. I said, perfect. That's what I want, a starter pack. She said, it'll just kind of make a little bit of popping here and there, you know, nothing shooting off too far and everything. I said, that's exactly what I need. And you get that box, you know, and it's colorful and things, but it doesn't look very, like, to a child, especially Abby, my 5-year-old over in Children's Church, she said, what's that? That's going to be fun? You look at this. How does this translate to prosperity and good success? Well, he gave me the illustration of fireworks. The firework box in and of itself, you know, the little box, the little tanks they give you, they have little tanks that shoot and stuff. They're cool. It doesn't look like it's going to do very much. But when you light the fuse and that fire starts going down that fuse and all of a sudden it hits the base of that thing and poof, 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 and then you get the blessing of it. Well, what does this have to do? This is like the fireworks box, because people see say, the Bible, that book, what's that going to do for me? Well, go with me real quick to Romans 10 and verse 17. I'm going to show you the firework that's going to go off in your life. Romans 10 and verse 17. He's so good.
Amen.
He wants you blessed so bad.
Thank you, Father.
Romans 10 and verse 17. He says, so then, faith comes. Or faith is birthed. Or faith shows up on the scene. Now, why is that important? Well, if you've been with me any amount of time, we preach faith around here. Let me give you a quick dissertation on faith. I'm talking 30 seconds. The Bible says without faith you can't please God. The Bible says without faith you can't overcome the world. The Bible says without faith you can't receive the promises of God. The Bible says without faith you can't quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the Bible says without faith... Did you get all that? The Bible says, without faith, nothing is possible. That's what it says in the Word. How many times did Jesus encounter somebody and something happened and He said, your faith did this. Your faith did this. That means if they didn't have faith, nothing would have happened. So we need faith. Amen? We need faith. We overcome, we receive, we please God, we quench the darts of the wicked one. Faith is needed, praise God.
Amen.
So we need faith to come. Well, the Bible says faith comes, or faith shows up or arrives or shows up on the scene by hearing and hearing. Not just having heard, hearing and hearing. What's that mean? Ongoing hearing of God's Word. Not opinions, not philosophies, and not preaching that's fluff. What's preaching that's fluff? These feel-good messages. Don't tell anybody what to do with their money. Don't tell anybody what to do about sin. Don't tell anybody what to do with their finances or about their marriage or how to raise their kids. Just tell everybody everything's going to be okay. Not if you don't do what God says it won't be. He didn't say prosperity and good success would come to every church person. He said the ones that do the right thing, prosperity and good success. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, those people that hear my word and do it, He said, they're wise people that have built their house on the rock. And when the rains come and the floods come and the wind beats against the house, though it's tough and it's hard, they stand in the end. But He said, on the contrary, the people that don't do the word, and this is Matthew chapter 7 if you need it, it says, if you don't do the word, He says, you're a foolish man that built this house on the sand. And when the rain comes, the flood comes, and the winds beat against the house, there's a crumbling and there's a falling, and great is the fall.
Right.
Kind of sounds like we have a responsibility. But see, that's not what I was taught growing up. That's not what she was taught growing up. And that's not what a lot of people in here have come to me and said, Pastor, we've been sitting around waiting for God to do something. And I'm telling you, God's sitting around waiting for you to do something.
Yes. Amen.
Who got me all fired up this morning? Whose fault is it? It's picnic day. We don't need veins. We don't need spit. It's picnic day. It's supposed to be sweet. People need to hear this stuff. I can't stand religious. People say, oh, Pastor, you're religious. No, 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 no. I despise religion. Religion is about rules and regulations. Christianity, true Christianity, is about relationship with Him. I can't stand religion. I want a relationship with God. Praise the Lord. And so many people are sitting around with religious ideas, just waiting for God, waiting for God, waiting for God. And when He doesn't show up, it's either their fault, they're not doing, like, God must not like me, I'm such too bad of a person, or God just doesn't want to, and it's just such lies. And it doesn't bring people closer to God, it pushes people farther away from God. I love my grandma, and she's in heaven, she believed in Jesus, and she was sweet, and she knew as much as she knew. But her way of handling me was not the loving, merciful way that told me that God is a cushion for me to fall on in hard times. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm not going to get to hardly any of this message. We'll come back here, but I got to stop because the Spirit of God just arrested my heart. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to help someone here this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. I want to help people here this morning. I know what it's like for me coming into a church and they actually taught the word. It blew my mind away. I thought, oh my gosh, never heard anything like this before. But then I brought it back to the Bible. I said, well, the minister's not making it up. I said, you know what, this sounds a lot better than what I'm dealing with. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, we'll get back to that, Romans 10 in a second. It says, by the way, I call this heaven's invitation. What's an invitation? Telling you that God wants you somewhere. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this is God saying this through the writer of Hebrews. The Bible says all Scripture has been given by the Holy Ghost. So it wasn't the writer of Hebrews' idea to write this. It was God saying, tell people to come unto me. I sit on a throne of grace and mercy, and I'm there for help in the time of need. But this is what I want you to see about this verse. Notice the throne God sits on. What is it? It's not a throne of condemnation. It's not a throne of anger. It's not a throne of judgment. He sits on and welcomes you to a throne of grace. What is that? A soft spot. A soft landing. Amen. So many people have been spoon-fed that God is angry with them. That God is mad at them. That God wants something to do with them. And that's not what the Word says. He said, He didn't say, come to my throne of grace when you're doing everything right, when all your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed and you're doing everything spiritually right and your ducks are in a row. No. He said, I'm inviting you to come and get mercy and help in your time of need. He's saying, when you're in your worst spot, I want to be your answer.
Praise God.
Amen. And religion drives people away from Him. You're too bad. You're not doing this and that. Sometimes people are stuck in a rut. You ever been stuck in a rut in life? Life's just kicking the heck out of you and dominating you. And you're feeling bad about yourself. God says, run to me. I'll fix it. I'll help you. And notice how He said to come. He didn't say come with your tail between your legs. Come all timid and all nervous. No. Come boldly like you belong there as His child. When my kids are in trouble and my kids have problems, you know who they come to? Mom and Dad. But I'll use me as an example because we're talking about the father here. They go to Mom just as much. But when they're in trouble and they're hurting, they come to me. And you know what they don't do? They don't come to me, Dad, I did this, or Dad, I need this for school. And no. I mean, they run through the door. Dad, I need new shoes for school. Dad, I need a new baseball bat for baseball practice. Time of need. You know what they have a revelation of? Dad's good.
Amen.
You know what they have a revelation of? Dad loves them.
That's right.
You know why people don't go boldly to the throne of grace? They don't know who God is.
That's right.
They know who the media and who religion has told you that God is. But the God of the Bible says, I love you so much, I'll give you Jesus to prove it. You say, well, I should know better. I'm living in wrong and I should know better. Oh yeah, because he said you're disqualified because you know better. No, he just said, if you're in a time of need, I don't care if you know better or not, come to me. I'll tell you what, you get a revelation of that. They run to me in boldness, knowing Dad's a soft place. Dad's not a place where he's going to condemn. Dad's not a place that's going to hurt me or cut me down. Dad's someone that's going to lift me up. Amen. And that's what God wants to do for his creation. Come unto him boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace. You know what grace is? Grace is God's ability. Grace is God's help. He's saying, come to me to find grace. What's grace? For whatever you need. You need healing. You need prosperity. You need, you're going through depression. You're going through sickness. You're going through disease. You're going through fear, anxiety, and stress. His grace is his ability. An acronym for grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ paid for you to have every single thing in your life. It was an all-encompassing salvation. And he says, when you're struggling, come to me. I got grace for your time of need and for help for you. Thank you, Lord. And I have taken him up on his offer. If you get invited somewhere, I don't know about you, but if you get invited somewhere, I don't walk into the party and, oh, they're going to think I'm crashing this place. No, I got an invitation. Just walk in. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. You're invited to a wedding. You don't hide from the bride. Hide from the groom. Oh, but they see me. No, no. Hi. Yeah. I'm supposed to be here.
Amen. That's good.
Why do people go to God timidly? Because they don't know him. Yes. He loves you so much. He cares about you so much. Go back to Romans 10 and verse 17. So I told you, without faith, you can't please God. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, you can't overcome. 1 John 5, verse 4, without faith, you can't receive. Hebrews 6, and verse 12, without faith, you can't quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Ephesians chapter 6, all those things are real. So he says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Remember the firework example. On the surface, those boxes don't look like they do much. On the surface, what's the word going to do for me? Well, when you hear and hear, that's ongoing. What is that called? Like Joshua 1:8 said, that you shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in when? Day, night, day, night, day, night. What's that called? Hearing, 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 hearing. What happens when you hear and hear God's word? The Bible says faith comes. Wait, what happens when you hear the word of God? Faith comes. When you go day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, and you're meditating in God's word, and you're hearing God's word, what's going to happen? Faith is going to be birthed. Why is that important? Because without faith, you can't overcome. Without faith, you can't get the devil off your back. Without faith, you can't receive from God. Without faith, you can't please God. All those things the Bible says that your faith will do. So how does it lead then to prosperity and good success? Go back to Joshua 1 and verse 8 if you would, Heather. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Why? You got to say it if you want to have it. So Jesus said, but you shall meditate therein day and night. What's that called? Hearing and hearing. What did Romans 10 verse 17 say? Faith comes. Faith is birth. Faith is born. Faith comes on the scene by hearing and hearing. What's hearing and hearing? Hearing and hearing. Day and night. Day and night. He said, you shall not depart your mouth, but you shall meditate in day and night. Day and night. Well, what's happening when you're meditating in day and night? Faith is being birthed. What's happening? What seemingly isn't important, all of a sudden a fuse is being lit, people. And there's about an explosion on the inside of you that's about ready to take place. What's that explosion called? It's called the explosion of faith. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, let's go there. I'm just going to stay on this and we'll close in this right here. This is my first point. I had three. But because I love you so much, I'm not going to make you hear the everlasting gospel today. And I've heard, you know, we've all learned, right? The where the heck did I say to go? Mark chapter 5. We all know the key to this whole thing, right? The heart can't receive more than the hind end can endure. So once the hind end starts checking out, the heart follows, is what I'm trying to say. So we'll make sure we're not here much longer. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. This will change your life. Here we go. You ready? And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, an incurable condition for 12 years. You say, is that real, incurable? Oh, we've had a lot of things that were incurable around here. Corey, they told you that something going on with Elizabeth when she was in Charity's belly was incurable, wasn't it? You know what he did? He called me up. And he said, Pastor Mike, this is what the doctors are saying. And they're saying that the best thing you can do is to abort her because she's not going to be normal. She's going to have a whole lot of problems if you go through that. Did we not have that conversation? I said, well, Corey, what do you want to do about this? Well, let's believe God's word. Let's find out what God's word says about the situation. Okay, God's word doesn't say that. So we stood on God's word and we prayed on the phone and we believed and we declared some things. And guess what? She here today? She's tearing it up with Abby over in Children's Church. Ain't nothing wrong with that girl. There's people here that could testify today. Julie stood up and gave a testimony about an incurable thing she had. She didn't even tell about the other thing that came on her body and tried to rob from her, which was what? Fibromyalgia? Am I saying that right? Well, they say that's incurable.
Come on.
Well, all incurable means with God is that's where I play. That's my playground. The incurable and the impossible is my playground.
Yeah, praise God. So
this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Because if you get the thought process, well, that was Bible times. No, no, no. See, you don't understand. I don't know what they're doing in other churches, and I'm not saying we're the only one, but I'm telling you what's going on in here, signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen.
God is actually showing up in this place.
Amen.
And demonstrating himself. The Bible says in Psalms 34, taste and see that God's good. You know what God wants to do? He wants to be a show-off.
Amen. Come on.
He wants to show people he's real. Not just preach this intelligent lecture-type sermon that just walk out of here and head knowledge. No, no. He wants to change people's hearts and watch people's natural lives change.
Amen.
I could go on and on about people that have called me with testimony. I just got done preaching a healing series here, 6 weeks, 5 weeks long, and in Olean. And a lady in Olean said, Pastor Mike, I had three things get healed during this service. These series had been with me for so long. Three things are gone out of my life. Nothing I did. Power of the word of God. He said, health will come to your flesh from the word. Prosperity and good success.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Let's see. Julie, you were there. Troy and Tracy, you were there. Troy and Tracy are from Olean Church. It's good to see them. Usually they drive this thing that looks like the Batmobile. But they got afraid because the rain might come. And they'll get wet in that thing. So they didn't bring that today. But this isn't what came out Tuesday night. Whole different. Why? Because there's people here that need to hear something different, and the Holy Ghost says, go there.
That's right.
So I'm following the Spirit of God. Certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered, verse 26, many things of many physicians. Am I against doctors? Heck no. But doctors only know what doctors know.
Come on.
It's like Reverend Greer. His son, Reverend Greer's a minister that comes in here. His son had all sorts of incurable things. And the doctors were saying things, and they were working on him. And this little boy, is the term I just recently heard, was circling the drain. What's that mean? Getting ready to be done. To die. And Reverend Greer's off to the side. He's quoting the word of God, and he's saying what the word says about his son. And the doctor looks at him and says, what are you doing? He said, Doc, you do your thing. I'll do mine.
Amen.
See, doctors, nothing wrong with doctors. I'm thank God for doctors. They've helped and changed lives and helped people and things. But I'll tell you what, doctors only know so much. And there are things that are incurable for doctors, but they ain't for God.
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had. What? She was looking for a cure. Looking for a cure. And was nothing better, but grew worse. There are just things medical science and medicine cannot do.
That's right?
Amen. That's not coming down against medical science or doctors. There's just things they say we can't do anything about it. We can try to calm it a little bit, or we can try to delay it, or we can try to slow it down. But to cure things or to get completely rid of it, there's just things the natural realm cannot handle.
That's right.
And that's what she did. She exhausted everything naturally, but looked at verse 27. Now, you have to understand something about Hebrew times. In the Old Testament times, it's a lot different than our times. Thank God we don't have any goats in here today that we're going to slice open and get the carpets red. Aren't you glad we don't live in the Old Testament anymore? Amen. You animal lovers, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Jewish customs and things. But anyways, if you had a blood condition in those days, legally you were required when you went out to let people know you were considered unclean. Either by something you're wearing that would state it, or by saying when you're going near people, unclean, unclean. Because if you touch them, according to the Jewish culture and the rituals that they had back then, that would send somebody that was touched by somebody that had a blood condition. They considered them unclean. And when you were touched by something unclean, you then had to go into this ceremonial ritual of cleansing and washing that was a big pain in the butt. So she's got to go out in public and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Oh, I'll tell you what, that sounds like fun. It'd be like you walking out and saying, this is what the doctor said I have. This is what the doctor said I have. I just went to the urologist. This is what I have. I just went to the lady doctor. This is what they say I have. That's what it would have been like. What am I saying that for? To tell you what position she's in. She's in a dire position. She spent all her money. She's broke. She's ashamed to go out in public. She's weak in her body. 12 years, no money. She's not eating the best food. Her body's breaking down, losing blood. And verse 27 says, when she heard of Jesus. Well, what does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing. Faith is birth, or faith explodes when people hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. All of a sudden, she heard something she'd never heard before. She's in her home and someone tells her, Jesus is in town. He's a healer and people get miracles, signs and wonders done by him. She goes from 12 years and broke to no hope to all of a sudden she's got hope shooting through her nose and ears.
Yeah.
And look what she did. All of a sudden, faith is... And when it bursts in here, it comes out of here and it shows up in your life. When I asked my pastor, when I started the church over in that storefront, I said, Pastor Michael, I got a baby coming in a few months. And I was told by God, I knew I was told to quit my full-time job and pastor the church because the Lord told me, if you don't, your time and attention is going to be taken away from this place and the church will hurt. And I am all in about the church and God's plan. And I said, Pastor Michael, I said, I need a salary. I said, if you'll give me a salary, I'll write down every bit of money that your church paid for me, because we were under his incorporation still. And I said, when my church gets incorporated, we'll start paying you back for my salary. He smiled, you know, and didn't say anything. And the next time I was in a service, I was sitting on the front row, and he called me up. He said, Pastor Mike, come here. And he pointed to a Bible verse, and he walked away. And that Bible verse said this. It was Jesus talking to the disciples, and he said to the disciples, when I sent you out with nothing. I knew my answer. No salary for me. And he pulled me aside later and he said, Pastor Mike, the Lord told me if I give you a salary, it'll ruin you. He said, but, he said, a lot of people in the body of Christ are echoes. What's an echo? They just echo somebody else's revelation. He said, but you're either going to sink or you're going to swim based on your faith. And when you pass this test, you're going to have a testimony that's going to preach, and I have preached it.
Amen.
You know, some of you can tell it better than I can. Why? Because not many people I know are facing $2,000 short for 2 years and not only got through it every single month, but paid off $60,000 worth of debt, and I just did it by doing the word. That's it.
Amen.
Not because I'm special, not because I have some extra power. Nope, just did the word.
Amen.
Just did the word. But why was I able to not be down when he said the salary? At first I was, but then why? You know what I did? When he said no, I got in the word on finances. I heard and I heard and I heard and I meditated day and night. You know what happened? A fuse was lit. And all of a sudden it went on the inside of me. And Pastor Mike went from being down and upset and worried and nervous. How am I going to take care of a new baby? What am I going to do? We can't even pay our bills. To laughing in the face of that poverty. I said this last night. It would almost get to the point when different things would happen in our lives, we would look forward to the bad happening to laugh in its face and watch God turn it around. And you say, are you telling the truth? Oh yeah. $2,000 short one time and My transition broke in the car. It was going to be $1,800 to get it fixed. Never told anybody in the church. Never told anybody in the family. Somebody asked me one day, and when that happened, we laughed. We said, oh, in the name of Jesus, it'll get fixed. We didn't have $1,800 to do it. In the name of Jesus, the money will come. In the name of Jesus, the money will come. And I had a family member who, if they had to stand up here and take truth serum, would tell you, I can't stand me. They don't like me. I've walked in on conversations, and I've heard from people, and the way they treated me in the past, I know they do not like me. They said, where's your car? Well, they asked. I said, oh, it's just over in the shop. Why? Oh, it needs a transmission. You know, they ask, I'm not going to lie. It needs a transmission. They come back, get their checkbook out, write me a check for every penny of that amount. That's the kind of stuff that happened for 2 years. And we got it all written down in a notebook about this thick. But why? I got so much word in me. Fireworks were going off like crazy. And I would laugh as the calendar would turn. And we'd say, wow, we got through that month. Now there's another $2,000 short. Bring it on. God, what you going to do this month? Because I was in faith. I was in belief. Well, look at this woman here. When she heard of Jesus, well, what does hearing do? It causes faith to rise up. She came in the press behind. Now, remember, the Bible said there was multitudes around him. Now she's sick, broke down in her house, weak in body, has to be shamed in public, and now she's pressing through people. What would cause a woman to be down and out, for faith to rise up, to go out in public through a crowd to get to Jesus? It's called faith. How did she get faith? When she heard of Jesus, that was the fuse being lit. When you hear the word, the fuse gets a shh, shh, and it goes down until, and she got an explosion in her heart, and that explosion caused her to get out of her house and to do something she had never done before. And she came in the press and she touched his garment. Verse 28. For she said, faith always says something. Why? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It's a spiritual law. Amen. Amen. You know how I can tell if people are in faith or not? Just watch their life get pressed on a little bit. Yeah. What's coming out? Joy and victory? Or worry and fear and doubt and unbelief? See, because you can't dip a sponge in Kool-Aid and press on it and milk come out. What you dip it in, and what's on the inside of that, is what's going to come out. And people that are in faith, when the fire starts coming, what's coming out of their mouth? What's their face look like? What's their attitude look like? Don't tell me you're in faith with a frown. Don't tell me you're in faith with a sulk. Faith never sulks. Faith never frowns. Faith is never discouraged. Faith is never worried. Faith is never stressed. Faith wakes up and says, let's go. Yeah. She was, and she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. The Amplified of that says, for she continually said, as she was going through the crowd, instead of shouting unclean, 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 she was shouting what she wanted to come to pass. Instead of calling it the way it was, she called it the way she wanted it. That's the first time I've ever said it that way. Yeah, she wasn't saying unclean, 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 which was declaring what she was. The Bible says we call those things which be not as though they are. We don't sit there and declare, I'm broke, I'm broke, I'm broke. No, we declare, money's coming to me. Life is going to change. I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. No, healing is mine and it will manifest. That, and she's saying, if I just touch him, if I just touch him, if I just touch him, if I just touch him. She's calling it the way it should be. Instead of saying what she was, she's calling it the way it's going to be. If I touch him, I'll be whole. If I touch him, I'll be whole. And immediately, verse 29 says, the fountain, give me five more minutes. And the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, now remember, oh, you'll see it here in a second, immediately knowing in himself that power, virtue, that's what that word virtue means, had gone out of him. He turned about in the press of people. Now this is, you got to get this. And he said, who touched me? Now remember, there's a multitude of press of people. And the disciples said unto him, Pastor Mike translation, you're crazy. Everybody's touching you, right? They're thronging after him because they've heard what he's done. They say, we see the multitude thronging or grabbing after you, and you're asking who touched me? Because when she touched him, it was different than when anybody else touched him. Because something came out of him when she touched him. Everybody else was grasping at God, but getting nothing from him. This one lady grasped at God and drew out something that changed her life. What was the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is here in a second. And his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about her to see that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Told him what happened. "I'm this. This is my condition. I came through the crowd today. I touched you. My body's cleansed. It's whole. I'm not sick anymore." And he said unto her, forgive my sarcasm, I'm just that way. He said unto her, "Daughter, thank your lucky stars I was here today." Daughter, today is your lucky day that Jesus was in town. No, he didn't say that to her. He said, "Daughter, your faith, what you did, made you whole." Now, I know what the thought is. No, Jesus was there. It was him. The power of God is everywhere. It's always ready, willing, and able to change your life. If we turn the lights off in here, it's not that the electricity doesn't work. There's electricity. You turn the lights off, there's still electricity in here. But until somebody cooperates with it and flips the switch, you don't get the benefits. God's power, look at this story with Jesus. Evidently, the power was there today, but only one got it. The other people that were thronging, that needed to touch, didn't know how to cooperate with him. What were they doing? They're the mass of Christians that are begging and pleading, "God, do something, do something, do something." And he says, "Child, I did already. I gave you my son Jesus. He died on the cross, which enabled you to have every promise. And then I gave you my word to show you how to access every promise." I know this won't preach on TV, but I don't give a rip.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
I know this won't preach on radio, but I don't give a rip.
That's right.
I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to change lives.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Something came out of me when she touched me." There's a difference in her. And Jesus now points out her difference in verse 34. He said, "Your faith did this."
Yes.
Your faith did this. But rewind to, where did the faith start? The fuse start? Because the faith is what got it done, but the faith didn't start just by all of a sudden she had faith. She heard. The fuse was lit. Explosion took place inside of her. The fireworks went off, caused her to get out of her house, press through a crowd, touch him, and Jesus say, "Your faith did this." But where did her faith begin? Hearing. So let's close with Joshua 1:8 and look at this verse and we'll be done. Man, oh man, oh man. You don't realize how things would be different. I guess I'll have to preach the other 2 points next week. They're just as life-changing as this one. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Why? You got to say it to have it. "But you shall meditate therein day and night." What's that? Hearing and hearing. When she heard, something happened. "That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then, not before day and night, for then, after day and night, after you take time to hear and hear." Why? Because after hearing and hearing, faith rises up. And when faith rises up on the inside, you release your faith, and then the natural changes. Guess what that woman got in Mark chapter 5? She got prosperity and good success, but not before she heard. She had to hear it first and get it in her heart, and then she acted. "For then shall your way be made prosperous, then shall you have good success." So, the life-changing number one point that is so simple and repetitive, every single day, feed on this. Say, so what do I read? Go back to live stream and listen to my messages. Take notes in the service and go back and get these verses in your heart. Pace the floor with them. And if you need healing, get healing scriptures in you. If you need prosperity. If you need how to raise your kids, marriage things, whatever. Depression, fear, anxiety, all those things. Get them in your heart. Faith will rise up and you'll do something and you'll watch the natural change. I've seen money mountains move in my life. A few years back, I had pain, my lower part of my belly. And I was, the morning of the Kentucky Derby, I was laying in the fetal position on the floor. Caleb had been born, and it was nap time. Caleb was a good napper, and so she's sleeping during the afternoon for the pre-stuff that race is on. And I'm laying there in a fetal position on the floor. And then all of a sudden, I had a release. I've been having pain for a few days. I had a release. And I don't know, in my mind, I just thought Bob must have, you know, at some point passed a kidney stone or whatever, moved through, and I'm better, because I'd never felt pain like that before, and I'd heard how painful kidney stones were. And so I thought, oh, this is great. Felt great. Had a warm feeling. Oh, finally, pressure's gone. 3 days later, I'm in a church service in Jamestown, and I'm feeling, never had this phenomenon. I am so hot, and sweat is dripping down me. My suit is getting drenched. Literally, you could wring water out of it, and I'm freezing at the same time. Didn't know I was going into shock and dying, and I went to the emergency room, and I walked in the emergency room, and I didn't get through the doors, and I dropped on the floor and passed out. And when I woke up, came to, the doctor said, I've never seen an appendix this bad. I went through the story, and he said, your appendix had been ruptured for 3 days. You should be dead. And the poison went through my body, and what normal appendectomy takes about a day or two to get out of the hospital, I was in there for almost, it was over 2 weeks, wasn't it? And the doctors told me in that time, as I was laying there in the most pain I've ever been, I mean, the poison went through my whole body. For 3 days, the ruptured appendix. People have died because of hours of it rupturing. In fact, they'll do emergency surgery on people before it ruptures so it doesn't rupture. And it stayed in my body. Don't tell me the power of God can't keep you and preserve you, because it did. And I'm laying there, and the doctor said, I hate to tell you this, but because you waited so long and some of the things and the complications did your body, there are things that will never be right, and there are things that won't change for about a year's time. You're going to notice some symptoms. And I'm laying there, and I'm feeling the worst pain of my life. But I remember the word of God on healing, that's not what God says. He'll heal all my diseases, except he can't handle appendectomy problems. That's the verse, right? No. Stop trying to exalt your problem above God. God trumps your problems. Amen. Every single thing you're facing, God trumps it. Amen. Okay, that's what you say, Doc. That's okay, but I know what the word says. And I'd lay there. And then I'd muster enough to get out of bed, and I had that little IV cart, and I could hardly move, and I'd say, by his stripes, I'm healed. His word says I'm healed. I will not. These symptoms will be gone on my body from head to toe. I'll be healing whole. And it wasn't a month or 2 months, and every single symptom in my body was gone. Oh, that's just coincidental. No, no, no. We're talking about doctors who are smart telling me this will never be the same. They know what they know. I know what I know. Amen? But that faith to stand up and release my faith and not just accept came from hearing and hearing and hearing the word on healing. And amen? Hallelujah. If you'll be a doer of this word, your life will change. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we're so grateful and so thankful for all that you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you've provided. Father, we thank you. Your word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path, Father. It helps us. Father, if people will take this message today and take it to heart and actually get in the word of God every day, things will change. Faith will rise up for those areas and those situations that are holding them down, and they'll say, nope. That day in Mark chapter 5, that woman said, okay, I've had enough. Time for a change. How did it happen? Because first she got faith in her. And how do you get faith? We got to hear it and hear it and hear it. So I pray, Father, that people would hear your word and that they would do your word and they would meditate in your word and they would watch faith rise up in their heart and they would exercise their faith by speaking it in the face of the test and the trial, and they would watch their life change. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I don't say that to be bossy. I say that for other people's comfort levels. Thank God for faith and miracles, signs, and wonders. It's so great. There's so many things that can change in the natural to become God's kid. How do you become God's kid? You accept Jesus. But the greatest promise that God ever gave to us was Jesus. Now, I told you earlier, see, there's an eternity to gain. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus talked a lot about hell. But the thing is, God didn't make hell for people. Hell was made for the devil. And Christians, people don't have to go to hell. God's made an escape from hell. He said, if you'll receive Jesus, you'll not perish. But you know when they hold up that sign in the end zone of football games, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life and eternity are dependent on a simple thing. If you believe in Jesus. Again, you don't have to be a church person. You don't have to be all your good deeds outweigh your bad. And you're not making a declaration that I'm going to be different now. You're just saying, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says belief. So the heads bowed and eyes closed. Please, nobody looking around. I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I won't have you say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, Pastor, I don't know. Well, the way that you find out is ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. See, we don't like to think of eternity and our mortality, but our mortality is a real thing. If Jesus doesn't come back, there will be a last day for us on planet Earth. If today were that last day, would you go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know 100% certainty I would. You say, how can you be sure? Because the Bible tells me how. The Bible says there's two qualifications. If you can say, Pastor, I don't think I would. I'm not sure that I would. What are the qualifications? Number one, you got to believe in Jesus. And number two, you just receive him. That's it. You don't become a member of a church or join some denomination or make some No, you're just saying, I believe in you, Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to receive him. Nobody's looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I do believe in Jesus. I don't understand everything, but I believe he was real. I believe he died and rose again. That's belief. You don't have to understand everything, but in your heart of hearts, you can say, yeah, Jesus was real. The Easter message, when he died and rose again, I do believe that. My head's a little off and my flesh is a little weird, but in my heart, I can't explain it, but I know that's true. I know I believe in Jesus. If that's you, you're qualified for heaven. And the second thing you do is just ask him in your heart. But we won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning for the first time and know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven, would you just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down? You don't even have to hold your hand up. Anybody at all in this service want to receive Jesus before we close it? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you so much for your boldness. I told you I wouldn't embarrass anybody. That is not my heart. But I remember somebody giving me the opportunity to receive Jesus and it changed my life. God had a plan for me. I didn't know. That person that just raised your hand, God has a plan for you. God has an amazing plan for your life and you wouldn't believe how good and what he wants to do in your life. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus this morning before we close? Just slip your hand there, put it right back down. Anybody at all? You're not joining this church or anything like that. Is there anybody before I close? Sometimes we're shy and we don't want to raise our hands. That's why I don't rush this. Is there anybody else before I close, going once, that wants to receive the Lord? Just slip your hand in there and put it right back down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any other hands, but we had one hand. And Lord, sometimes people in service just are shy and they don't want to raise their hand. It's not the raising of the hand that gets you born again. And there's people listening by live stream right now, on the internet or in the future. I can't see their hands. It's not about hands. It's about declaration of belief. So if you're here this morning and you raised your hand, or if you're here this morning and you didn't, or you're listening by live stream, but you know you should have and you want to be included, this is what we're going to do. We're all going to pray a prayer together. You're not going to be the only one. And all this prayer is going to be is a declaration of our belief in Jesus. The Bible says you must confess with your mouth that you believe in the Lord. Faith comes from the mouth. And so for that person that raised their hand, or anybody that should have, or if you're listening online now or in the future, we're going to all pray together, and all we're going to do is make a declaration that we believe in Jesus and ask him into our heart. So that person that raised their hand, anybody else that should have or listening now, along with everybody else in the church, would you just say this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You can look up here. Either Jesus was nuts, or he was 100% who he said he was. That's what people have to decide in their own heart. Because if he was who he said he was, then the word is true. And the only way to God, I'm going to say this boldly because he said it. Jesus said in John 14:6, again, I know this isn't politically correct, but I'm just saying what Jesus said, and I believe the Bible. So forgive me if you don't agree with the Bible. You don't have to. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father unless it be through him. Now, either he was exactly who he said he was, or he was a crazy lunatic that didn't know. And that's what people have to decide in their heart. I've decided I believe that. Not against any other religion or down on anybody else's beliefs. I'm just saying, if Jesus is real, and he was who he said he was, it narrows things down. But if you don't, you got to decide that in your own heart, right? Your own heart, praise God. And so We believe in the Bible around here. We believe in Jesus, not down on anybody else or anything. That's what we believe, and that's what Jesus said. So if you receive Jesus this morning, according to the Word of God, heaven is yours. Hallelujah. He loves you. You become God's child. He's got a great plan for your life. But at this time, brothers, come on forward real quick. We're going to take communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to go there. What is communion? Just a time of remembrance of what Jesus did. Thank you, gentlemen. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and pass that out. That'd be a blessing. Thank you, sir. You're not forced. You don't have to take communion if you don't want to. If you want to, you can. Here's the thing with us around here. We're no pressure. We love people. Amen? We love all people. Praise the Lord. Father, we're just so thankful for this morning and for all that you've done for us through Jesus. And Father, I thank you that not only did you give us your Son, but Father, you said that we could have the Word that changes and transforms our lives, and we thank you for it, Father. And as we take up communion this morning, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank you for it. And in a second, when the elements are passed out, I'm going to read a verse and we'll go ahead and take up communion. I'm going to start reading. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's go ahead and break the bread and go ahead and eat it. Lord, according to your word, we thank you that the bread represents your body. Your body was broken, so ours wouldn't have to be. Lord, I thank you that the word says, by the stripes on your body, I can walk in healing. So Lord, we thank you right now for what the body of Christ meant to us when it was broken. In verse 25, it says, and after the same manner, after he took the cup after he had supped or ate, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. So go ahead and take the cup and drink. Lord, we thank you that this juice represents the blood that was spilled for us, that enables us to be forgiven and to be set free. We thank you for it, Lord. We love you this morning. And Father, I pray for each and every person here. Lord, I pray that your highest and best would be done in each and every one of their lives. And Father, I pray that they would have a revelation of your goodness and your mercy and all that you have for them and all that you've done for them. Can we just stand to our feet and thank him before we go? Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your mercy and for your goodness. And Father, as we go to the picnic this afternoon, when we dismiss, Father, we thank you for everyone that sacrificed and made things, brought things, worked on things, set up things, taken down things. Father, I pray that you'd bless each and every one of them. And Father, we thank you the food that we're about to eat. We call it blessed to our body in Jesus' name. Amen. We encourage you to just head right over there and just get in line and get eating. You are dismissed. You let the cooks.